Hi there, welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. Last episode we talked a little bit about the energy of places. And like I have in so many episodes, you know, I've mentioned to you about starting to cultivate in yourself the ability to feel into whether the energy of a person or a thing or a place feels resonant to you, opens you up, makes you feel alive, makes you feel expansive, makes you feel sparkly. It just opens you up. That's if you're resonant with someone or something energetically. If you're dissonant with someone or something energetically, you feel a recoil. You feel contracted. You feel closed in on yourself. You have a tendency to kind of what I call turtle. You just sort of pull everything in for safety. There's a definite recoil to it that you can start to feel, and it's really subtle at first as you start to play with it. But the more you do it, it gets really pronounced. And so I thought I would just tell you a few different stories of things that have happened to me to see if, you know, like I always do, to see if something resonates with you. If this is something that you go, oh, you know, that happened to me. I never thought about it that way or considered it an intuitive or psychic gift or just an energy empath ability to read into the energy of something. Because one of my really big spidey senses, as my dad likes to call them, is psychometry. I can actually hold something of somebody's and I can pick up information. A lot of emotions usually, but I've started to get visuals and I can see things from childhood and I can, you know, get a feel for like some of the trauma parts of their life. I seem to pick up on traumas a lot in people and heavy energy, but it's good because I know now how to help transmute that and, you know, help people shift it. So I'm glad finally that I can feel the trauma in people's things. I can also feel it in their bodies as they get close to me. I can feel it when I do my energy work in person, as I'm holding my hands over them. I can feel where the heat is and the constriction and where a trauma is lodged in their body. And I've got some modalities that I do where I can then use my intuition and dig into that trauma and feel on the person's timeline, you know, where that trauma occurred for them. And I can get some messages and some info and some visuals on, you know, where that happened to them and help them release it. So it's really cool, but everybody can do this to a certain extent. And I don't want you listening to any of my podcasts and go, oh, well, that, you know, she can do it because she's really intuitive and she's really psychic and she's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I've just worked with it a lot, you guys. I've just worked with it and honed it, and I'm still doing it. I'm so excited. I just signed up for a year-long intuitive life coach certification program, and I don't feel a big need to be certified, but I love this teacher. I've been with her in one of her small groups for 3 or 4 months now, and the way she teaches is really inspiring me and helping me dial in and really stretch my gifts already. And this was just sort of like a real light group that I was in. This wasn't the heavy duty intuitive teaching and the coaching stuff. So I'm looking to add more tools to my intuitive and my coaching toolbox. And I'm super excited. So I will keep you guys posted on how it goes, but it's a year long program and I start tomorrow. So just, you know, realize you have an intuition. It's just very quiet. It's why I'm trying to always get people to be still and to meditate and to just sit out in nature and do nothing. Just learn to still yourself to the point that you can hear. That's why I say listen to the whisper, because it's a very quiet sound initially until you learn to work with it and it gets louder. Now sometimes, you know, you'll hear something really loud, like a big intuitive, you know, watch out or something. And that's, you know, that's your guardian angel just really protecting you from something big. But just the day-to-day intuitive knowings, just I don't like the way this person feels to me. Trust that. Absolutely trust that, because what most people do is they go, ooh, I don't really like the way that person feels, and then they kick into, oh, but I shouldn't think that way, I'm being judgmental, and I'm sure they're fine, and then your brain kicks in, and it starts arguing with your intuition. But that initial hit that you got, that person's energy is dissonant to yours, it feels heavy, something is up with them that's not right for you. You either feel their wounds, or you feel the way they act out, or you feel the heaviness they carry around with them. It's a warning to you. And I've always had that really strong in me for some reason. There was my brother as a kid, because this is what you always want to do as a parent. When you have a really violent child, you want to put them in karate early and help them be a black belt by the time they're 12. Because, you know, nothing like a really high-functioning violent person. But my brother, but he had a karate teacher who, just to be honest, was super creepy. He may have been a great karate teacher, but he was creepy. And he was at our house a lot. And I wouldn't go near him. I did not like his vibe. I didn't like the way he felt. I didn't like the way he acted. He was quiet and sneaky and felt coiled like a snake to me. So it's interesting. You can start to feel the energy, and they kind of go into different categories the way some of these dark things feel to you. So this guy felt like a coiled up snake ready to do something funky. And, you know, my mom, I don't know if my mom was thinking, I think I was, 16 maybe at the time, thinking I should date this guy or something, because she was always like, you should hang out with him. And I was like, ugh, no, there's no way. And she even had me go up to him once to try to shake his hand, and I couldn't put my hand out. I literally couldn't touch him. I just, what came in the room ahead of him was just too much. So, and bless her heart, my mom has never had that as one of her gifts, because she's real open to everything and kind of porous and just does not pay attention to the energy of stuff. But, you know, because I've mentioned in past episodes, because my mom is bipolar and has a lot of different things going on, and I'm such an empath, I learned to really feel the energy of stuff as a survival mechanism. Early on, I had to feel into, you know, was my grandpa going to be violent and raging? Was my mom, you know, where were we in the manic cycle? What was it, a safe room to walk into? Which me did I need to, you know, bring into the room with me? Like, all that. So it's a gift. Now I see it as a gift, and I see it as a choice that I, you know, I picked the family I was born into. But it was tricky as a kid. But I have honed it. I honed it to an art form, you guys, because I had to do it, you know, for safety reasons. But my poor mom does not have that as one of her gifts. She'd just walk up to a serial killer and have no clue. She just doesn't have the barometer for it. But there was this one guy in college, and he was a client of my parents at their ad agency. And mom was like, "Oh, you really need to date him. He's a flight attendant, and he's just amazing, and it'd be awesome. And you could just he's one of the greatest guys ever." And so he was going to be at the agency like the next day, and I went up there after one of my classes, and I walked in the front door of the office. They were like two offices away, and I could feel something funky walking in the front door. And as I got closer and closer to my mom's office where he was, I could feel him. And as he turned towards me, it was just this overwhelming, just ugh. And he just kept coming closer to me like he wanted to hug me. And I just turned around and walked out. I hate to be, you know, I'm not somebody who grew up to be rude to people, but his energy was so toxic and dark. And I hate to use toxic, but once in a while you get a hold of somebody who truly has toxic energy. And this guy, unfortunately, my mom was successful in introducing him to one of my very best girlfriends, who ended up marrying him. They went down a rabbit hole of drugs and sexual dysfunction and infidelity, and he turned out to be gay but not really, and, you know, he bankrupted her and just did, I mean, it was a mess, and it did such a number on my sweet friend, you know. And I tried to talk to her about it, but back then nobody listened to any of my intuitive stuff. Nobody took it seriously, but I also didn't stand strong in it and, you know, talk about it a lot. So, you know, that's on me too. But So you've got to learn to trust those things. And it's just a good indicator to you, you know, whether you're safe in a situation, or, you know, if it's a good place or a good person for you to interact with. Because, you know, people either make you feel good when you're around them, or when you leave, you're exhausted and you're drained and you feel like you have gone through the ringer. Those people are dissonant to you. And those are people that you either have to learn to empty out yourself when you're around and not let their energy phase you. You have to work on some energy self-care and energy protection techniques that I teach my clients, so that you can be a little more stable and balanced in their, you know, in their presence. Or you just have to bless and release them and get out of their way, because, you know, their heaviness just does a real number on you if you don't know how to take care of yourself. And it's, you know, why do you want to hang out with people that make you feel that way anyway? Why do you want to work somewhere that just feels toxic and feels heavy and leaves you drained and beats you up? I mean, that's not what we're here for. We're here to do the things that are resonant to us, that light us up, that make our soul sing, that make us feel joyful and buoyant and alive. That, you know, that's why we have that barometer in us, that frequency of joy that we can tap into. It, you know, it's like our homing pigeon of where we're supposed to go, because the more you feel into that and go towards things that light you up and make you joyful, the more the universe goes, oh, she likes that frequency of joy and peace and love. Oh, I see, she's marinating in that a lot more now. Cool, we'll match that frequency. We'll send her more of that. That's how manifesting works. If you're sitting in, you know, toxic energy and you know, a lot of heavy energy in your life, and you're trying to manifest something better than that, pushing back against all that heaviness and resisting it, the energy just picks up on the vibration of the heaviness and the resistance. So the universe just goes, okay, we'll give her more heaviness and more stuff to resist, because what you resist persists and gets bigger. So this is why it's super important to start to learn to feel into the energy of people and places and make the micro or macro adjustments that you need to make to shift into higher vibration states. Because the higher you vibe, the better you feel, the more consistently you're able to hold that frequency, the universe starts dropping magic into your lap. I mean, I've just got some of the loveliest things, just simple but lovely people and places and opportunities just dropping in my lap right and left lately, just because I am intentionally and consistently trying to stay as best I can in a place of joy and love and peace and vibrate as high as I can. I'm very intentional about it, and it's super important to me, because that's what I want to draw more of to me, you know, just more happy stuff. And you can't be happy, you know, all the time, because life happens, but you can choose to be peaceful. You know, like I've talked about in the past, you can choose to be as peaceful as possible in how you react to the heavy stuff that does happen to you. And that's, I've been getting some of that lately too, like I've mentioned, but I kind of empty out and I don't push back and I don't resist and I sit still with it, and it passes through quickly. Like I'm not getting a lot of weirdness from my neighbors and, you know, from management and all that. I've just sort of let it go. I blessed and released all their funky comments and behavior and choices. It's not mine. It's theirs. I don't need to sit here and stew in it. Because if I did, if I sat here and went, oh my God, that's happening. You know, that thing that we do in our minds. If I did that, guess what? I'd just get more of that from them. But I've emptied out. I've blessed and released. I've sent them, you know, as many good thoughts as I can. I put up some feng shui mirrors in a few places, like a couple of my energy practitioners recommended, and kind of bouncing their funk back at them. And, you know, I've moved on. I'm back to cultivating happiness. And when I say moved on, it was within, you know, an hour or two of of all the craziness that happened with them, because that's intentional. You know, I am intentionally cultivating good energy that's important to me. I have to stop for a second because the very old dog needs to go out, so I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. It's always fun trying to record a podcast with a 14-year-old incontinent dog. Sorry about that. But back to the energy thing. Honing that skill of being able to feel the energy helps in so many ways. I mean, it helps you as you meet new people. It helps you as you want to feel into a new career or, you know, a job offer, a home that you're going to buy. I mean, man, feeling energy has helped so much. As you know, as I was looking for houses and stuff after I got divorced, I would go in places and I mean, I could open the front door and be like, nope, energy in here is just not right. And as I was, you know, looking for a house for my parents after my dad got run over, same thing. I mean, sometimes we just pull up at the curb and I could feel it. And there's been times, you know, with my mom's bipolar, when she's in a really big manic, like I could feel the energy of that manic as I would pull into their neighborhood. And this one time, bless her heart, I got to their house in Arlington. And as I walked up the sidewalk to the front door, I almost couldn't ring the doorbell. I rang it and my mom opened the door and was in such a state. You know, my dad was with her, so she was, you know, safe. But when she's manic, she's not real happy with me. I usually am the butt of all that energy. So, the door flew open and just all this rushed out at me. And I just looked at her and she's like, come in. And I was like, I love you, but I can't. And I just had to turn around and, you know, get in the car and go home. You know, I checked with my dad later and made sure she was fine. But she had, you know, taken herself off her meds. And it's intense, y'all. If you've not ever dealt with somebody that goes, bless her heart, she's gone psychotic 3 or 4 times when she's taken herself off her medication. And that is a really tricky dance for the person, you know, experiencing it and the people that love them and try to help. But that's a whole another story for a different day, because I am completely open to talking about mental health, and I think we need to talk about it at the top of our voices, because it's another one of those invisible illnesses, like autoimmune stuff, like Lyme, like all, you know, all the invisible illnesses that people just brush under the rug and ignore. That stuff has got to be talked about, because mental illness is, you know, it's just brain soup that's mixed up, and it can all be fixed, but it's got to be talked about, and we have got to have a better mental health system in this country. It is just ridiculously bad. But anyway, back to the energy of places. When I was looking for my house after my divorce, and then when I got over my nervous breakdown, I was poking around and, you know, nothing felt right. But this one day I was driving, I don't know, just this one street called Gaston in Dallas. It's kind of the east side of town. It's interesting. It always, that area of town always felt like Austin to me. But I was driving and I'd never seen this house before, but as I'm driving up this little hill of the street, I felt the pull of something behind me up and to my left. And I thought, well, that's so weird. I thought there were just trees and stuff up there. So I turned around and I pulled back in. And I pulled up this little driveway. And the second I pulled in the driveway, I went, oh, this is my house. This is my house. And there was a sign out front. And I called and they said, oh, we just put that on the market 2 hours ago. And I said, well, I'm in the driveway. How quick can you get here? And they said, you know, we'll see you in 20 minutes. And I walked in. And it was a little 1950s Asian contemporary house. Such a cute little house, all windows across the back, split level, and it was glass and this beautiful gray 1950s long brick, and such a great house. Needed so much work though, because the last couple of people that had lived in it, let it decline, and the energy of the house was really low, and the house felt sad, but it had such good bones. And I swear, y'all, the house told me, like, I'm here for you, you be here for me, we can both heal together. I need some work, you need some work, you need a project, I need a helper, move in. And so my dad came to look at it, and he was like, oh my God, it's a money pit, don't do it. But I just knew I had to. It was the same as when I touched my husband's hand and I knew I was going to marry him and that he was an asshole. Same thing with this house. I touched the front doorknob and went, this is my house, I'm home. It had the energy that it needed. I knew I could heal there. And it's funny, my life, you know, with my mom has always been very black and white. That's a bipolar thing. It's either super happy, super hyper, or very, very heavy and dark. That's just, you know, there's not a whole lot of in between, unfortunately, for the way my mom's illness runs. So everything in my world had been so black and white for so long and so rigid and so opposite. Like, my life was bipolar. It was either all or nothing and everything. So I had literally said to myself the morning before I found the house, I just need some gray. I need some gray area in my life. I need to find neutral. I need to find the middle ground. That's where I find me. And so when I pulled up to this house and it was long gray 50s brick with black, it had black beams and some black accents and white walls, but it was predominantly gray. And I just started laughing. I was like, okay, there's my gray. There, I can do this. And it felt like a tree house. And you know how much I love trees if you've been listening to the podcast very long. So I could sit inside and just be like I was outside. It was like I was camping, because the backyard was, oh my God, y'all, it was so pretty. A couple of master gardeners had lived there over the years, and somebody had won some awards for like planting ginkgo trees and Japanese maples and all kinds of stuff. But it was this beautiful, now it was overgrown because the last owner or two hadn't bothered to do any upkeep. And this was the kind of stuff that my dad was freaked out about, like the ivy that had grown up the outside of the chimney had grown inside the chimney and into the house and had torn up a bunch of sheetrock and, you know, had covered up an entire back patio that we didn't even know was there. We just thought it was all ivy. But, you know, so it needed a lot of help and love, this little house. But at that point in my life, I did too. And energetically, I matched the house. It had beautiful bones. I knew that it could be filled with love and happiness again, but it felt really empty and really broken, just like I did. That's exactly how I was at the time. So it matched me energetically. It matched my frequency. But I knew deep down intuitively that we could both heal. And, you know, I had the money at the time to pour into it. I also had the time and the energy, you know, to devote to crafting something that was just mine, that felt like me, and designing, you know, just finding all the cool mid-century Asian contemporary Danish modern furniture and stuff to decorate it. Because I really love designing and curating spaces. You know, just the energy of that, and reorganizing people's homes and rearranging furniture so that it's got the flow right, and just bringing good energy into a space really makes me happy. And being intentional with what you choose to put out that defines you, like that kind of stuff is really big to me, which is why it was so hard when I got sick and had to leave the house and sell it and everything in it. It's really tricky, because picking out all those things intentionally that brought such joy to me into the house, having to let all that go, and then having to do the same thing at my studio with all my mid-century stuff there, letting it go. I literally have maybe two or three pieces in storage, and, you know, holiday things and some housewares, but I'm down to the Airstream and a few little things in storage. And I had two really killer mid-century places between my house and my studio. So it's interesting. You have to, you know, your energy shifts as you get rid of those things, right? So anyway, it's fascinating. But this is just a kind of a long episode, so I'll wrap it up, but I wanted to just start the conversation. I'll probably listen to this back and see where I skipped around and then clean up and add some stuff for the next episode. But I just wanted to start there and share with you a little more on the energy of people and spaces and places and why it's important to start feeling into those things. So anyway, thank you as always for listening. I hope this one made sense. I think I'm hungry, so I have a little bit of a blood sugar drop, which may not have been the best plan for recording, but hopefully you got something out of it. Thank you all for listening, and I haven't asked in a while, but if you are enjoying the podcast and you haven't had a chance to do so, if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts for me, that would be awesome, and share it with friends that you might enjoy, that might enjoy the podcast, because I've had a few people asking, you know, for audiobooks and stuff, like recommendations, and I've sent them the link to the podcast, and they've listened, you know, on road trips, like kind of binge listened to everything and really enjoyed it. So, you know, if you see anybody asking for a good listen, send them my way. Thanks again. I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @Airstream_Oracle, or you can email me at hello@ShannonPinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on, read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.